Where are you going, dude?
To work, my friend.
Alana, it is Columbus Day, the national day of not doing sh.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
So America's least favorite holiday commemorates a murderous egomaniac whose most famous discovery was a case of getting lost and refusing to ask directions. All of which is enough to make you wonder, Columbus Day, how is this still a thing?
And now,
Columbus Day, which brings with it the beloved annual traditions of cheesy local commercials.
In 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue to celebrate Mattress Depot.
And Americans turning up to an unexpectedly closed post office and going, oh yeah, it's Columbus Day.
Our feature presentation.
I mean, should we be off?
I feel like we should.
People are taking off, right?
I think we tried that one year and didn't get away with it.
No, we were going to try it, but we couldn't get away with it because not everybody was on board.
It wouldn't have worked. You can't just not show up. They know what days are holidays.
Right, but I'm saying...
But if nobody did on the show...
Thank you.
Then you do.
Then boom.
What I'm saying is...
And then they go, hey, you were supposed to work today. And you go, what?
What?
Come on, Bean.
I don't think we would have... I don't think we... Well, I mean...
It takes unity, that's all.
We would have gotten away with it in that we wouldn't have shown up. But I think there would have been severe consequences. Is it?
How severe, would it have been?
I don't know.
Honestly.
I guess they could suspend you. I don't think they would do that. They would just take away a day's pay, probably, I would imagine.
But it'd be a sweet day off.
Right?
Okay.
And it's on a Monday.
Right.
Yeah. All right.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday, the 9th of Rocktober.
Everything I've heard about this Cal Jam sounds like it was the place to be this weekend.
It was big fun.
Chip was just telling me about some of the cool stuff that Foo Fighters brought out, you know, like the throne and what was the thing you were telling you could cut a record, Chip?
Yeah, I think it was Gibson had this recording studio where they had like a cover band in there, and if you could play an instrument, if you wanted to step in on bass or if you wanted to sing, you could play a song with them. They had, you know, a list of songs you could choose from, like Crazy Train or, you know, any other, like a bunch of rock songs. You play the song, they record it, and they press a 7-inch for you, and you got to take that home, and that was completely free.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it was awesome. Cool.
Who does that?
The Foos.
The Foos. Yeah.
And they weren't just playing. I mean, it was their festival. They curated it. So they probably worked with people to come up with all these great ideas to just make it awesome.
And they're talking about doing it each year.
Yeah.
Which is great.
I like that.
You know, different venue. Everything would be cool.
And I saw the unfortunate Come Together cover, but I didn't see them do Draw the Line. They did Draw the Line with Joe Perry, too. You were there, Kevin.
I didn't see that.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
No, I didn't.
Aerosmith song. I'd love to see that. I love that song.
Wait, with Joe Perry?
Yeah.
Joe Perry was there?
Yeah.
And during Come Together, Liam Gallagher crowd surfed.
What?
Right.
Yeah.
And didn't know any of the words.
To Come Together?
Yes. He was holding a piece of paper with the words on it.
Like, right now, over me, Come Together?
That's the one.
Yes.
How? He's from England.
Yes.
Oh.
How shocking is that?
Really?
And even though he had the paper in front of him, he still didn't get all the words
I'll
right.
tell you, really pitchy, dog.
Yeah, I'm afraid. It did not sound good.
It was bad.
How was his set, though? How was he singing his song?
I didn't see his set. Chip's going to have to tell you that.
I saw 15 seconds.
How was he for that 15 seconds?
Boring.
Okay.
I would think Liam Gallagher would be someone you would have wanted to see, Kevin.
Yeah, but I would have thought that, yeah, you know what? It gets earlier and earlier in the day, and then you're like, you know what? I'm going to get there as soon as I can.
Oh, I see. So you missed Royal Blood, too.
I did.
Oh, yeah. It was so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're so good.
That bummed me out. But.
We're going to talk more about it, and we'll talk a lot about it tomorrow. Don't forget, Breakfast with Foo Fighters, 7 o'clock. Kevin and Bean Show talk a lot about the Cal Jam. They must be very pleased with the way it went, I would imagine.
I can't imagine not, yeah.
Hey, here's a story to get us going, by the way, and by everything I've sourced on this, it apparently is true. This seems like the type of thing that would be, you know, fake news. This is a woman who went blind playing games on her phone.
Fake news.
A woman in China, well, partially blind, she spent an entire day playing a game on her smartphone. She's 21 years old, a hardcore fan of a popular multiplayer smartphone game called Honor of Kings. Is that a thing that we have over here? Is that popular in America as well?
I haven't heard of it.
Nor have I. She works in finance. She said to have been playing the game for several hours when she suddenly lost sight in her right eye. She was taken to the hospital, was diagnosed with retinal artery occlusion, RAO, in her right eye. It is usually more common in elderly patients, and it can result in permanent loss of vision. This reminds me of a couple of months ago when we had the eclipse, and there were people who did what you're supposed to not do and stare into the sun.
Donald Trump.
And they did damage their retinas, and for some of them, that's permanent. Now they've got a permanent disability in that eye because they stared at the sun. Well, this is staring at a phone. By the way, the picture of her in the hospital, she's still playing this game on her phone. In the hospital.
I don't believe a word you're saying.
She admitted to...
Oh, that's such a big liar.
I agree with her.
She said, I know it's terrible, but I still haven't uninstalled the game. She admitted to regularly playing the game for up to 8 hours without eating, drinking, or going to the toilet. If I don't work, I usually get up around 6 a.m., I have breakfast, and then I play till around 4. Then I would eat something, take a nap, wake up, and continue playing until 1 or 2 in the morning. My parents warned me that I might go blind.
You're telling me... And you want us to believe that she's in the hospital with partial blindness because of this game.
She went,
while playing it in the hospital.
She went to the hospital because she was having – she lost sight in one of her eyes.
Right.
And the picture that they took of her, she is still on her phone, yes. You'd think that they would have taken it away from
her. Yeah, that's not
– I would think.
Mm-mm.
Not buying it.
She said she spent all of October 1st, a public holiday in China, playing the game. It was after dinner she lost her sight and was taken to the hospital, and she was diagnosed with the RAO. So you're just – you say no then?
Nah.
Nah.
Okay.
Although she could have said, you know what? Still got one. Still got one eye. I'm good.
You can play with one eye.
Right. For a while.
Well, I would say put the phone down once in a while.
Don't do that.
Is what I would say.
It's our advice. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin Abicho, shall we?
You know why I'm laughing? At the sadness of your entire existence.
Harvey Levin from TMZ, like we do on Mondays. We've got a brand new Bean Makes Us Guess. We are going to talk to Andrew Siciliano, talking about the NFL this weekend.
By the way, a lot of wings here in the building today.
Yeah, I don't. Who?
Chip with the wings, right?
I mean, if you could call
it. Allie, you got wings first thing. Your game was Thursday, right?
Yes.
Why are you saying it like that?
I was confused by wings until just now.
Football.
I got it.
He said Andrew Siciliano.
It means you won then.
I know, but I was like, I was thinking wearing wings because you're an angel, because you die, like all these things. Yes, we won Thursday. Thank you.
Ralph, big, big wings yesterday. I had wings, thank God, for the defense. I think pretty much everybody I can think of.
I mean, I didn't. Wonder,
I mean, if you had a team, it seems like you pretty much won.
Everybody.
When even the Dolphins win, I guess that means everybody won.
I mean, not everybody.
I mean, it's just nothing but winners.
Cardinals did get destroyed by the Eagles.
What?
So, oh, that's right.
I don't think.
Oh, that's right.
I don't think
one,
I,
just one, I get that. One guy who's hungry
and not just beaten, but really just beat
really
down.
Beaten.
Yeah, just really. It was
the
insane.
Eagles might still be scoring.
That's correct. Yes. Okay. All right. And also, we have your tickets for Depeche Mode at the Hollywood Bowl this morning on the show. We'll take a break. LNOC's Alternative Rock. It's world famous K-Rock and the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
Depeche Mode, Hollywood Bowl, you guys. Tickets every morning this week on the Kevin and Bean Show and throughout the day on K-Rock from 9 till 5. Plus, you can register to win a pair of tickets at K-Rock.com as well. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey,
what's going on this Monday?
I was taken aback a little bit by how harshly some people were coming down on Liam Gallagher for having to read the lyrics of Come Together off a piece of paper.
Really?
Yeah.
Because
I used to be in a Beatles cover band, and that was one of my favorite songs, and those words are incomprehensible and make no sense, so it's almost impossible to know what the next one is coming after the one you're singing. And yet you guys seem to think it's just a piece of cake, it's just a slam dunk. So I thought we'd play a little game called Bean Sings Come Together. And we'll stop him when he gets the lyrics wrong.
I don't know the words, but I'm not a professional rock and roll singer who knows he's going to go on stage and sing
that song.
But it seemed
like the easiest thing in the world. Come Together. It's a simple song. Everybody knows the words,
but
right?
Didn't they worship the Beatles?
Yes, they did.
So
yes.
I would think if you're in the music industry.
As did I.
Right, but you're not in the music industry. You're not British. I don't know. It just seems like he would know those. If anybody would know them, he would know them.
But I'm telling you, they're almost impossible to
know. I hear you.
But how do other bands do it, like Aerosmith? How do they know the words to that song?
Well, they went into the studio to record that, right?
Right.
Could they maybe have had the lyrics in front of them while they were recording
that
song?
No, but I'm saying they perform it live on stage and everything. I mean, the lyrics are not impossible to remember.
Well, let's see.
I'm not...
Allie?
In a million years, I would never claim to know all the
try?
Words to that song.
Oh, I definitely won't know them.
Yeah,
but
it's madness.
I'll try.
Okay, good for you, Allie. Thanks
okay.
for playing along. You want to start?
From the start?
Well, let's start from the beginning. I think it's easier for everyone. I'll give you the first word.
Hey.
Here.
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 Yep.
I know some of it.
Let's go. Just give me the first line.
Does it start with "Here come on flat top"?
Here come old flat top.
Old flat top.
So
he got
wrong automatically.
Right. Yeah.
He got.
Nope.
Oh.
He come. Grooving up slowly.
Grooving up slowly.
Right.
He got.
It doesn't count when you say it after Ralph, by the way, Allie.
What? Go ahead.
Spinal mojo?
No. He got juju eyeballs.
Oh, he got.
I mean, he does have juju eyeballs. That's true.
Then he got.
Nope.
He come.
Nope.
He said.
Nope.
Hello.
He won.
He won.
He won Holy Roller.
Coming up slowly.
We already covered that.
Oh.
Look,
it came up slowly earlier in the song.
The lyrics are nonsense, but I will tell you that if I were going to go out on stage later tonight and perform the song with Foo Fighters, I would learn the lyrics.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
You're better
the
than
only thing.
Else.
I'm not better, but
You're
I'm saying
better.
I would have been prepared to do the
us.
Song on stage in front of people.
I'm just saying it's really hard.
It is hard. I agree
it's
with you.
It's a really hard song to know.
Does it make no sense at all? If
it makes
you read
no
it?
Sense.
None.
Oh, no. Yeah, like, I'll give it to you. Okay. Here come old flat top. He come grooving up slowly. He got juju eyeballs. He won Holy Roller. He got hair down to his knee. Gotta be a joker. He just do what he please.
Come together.
Nope.
Oh.
Next phrase. Next verse for the chorus. He wear no shoe shine. He got toe jam football. He got monkey finger. He shoot Coca-Cola. He say, I know you. You know me. One thing I can tell you is
we
you,
got to be free.
Is you got to be free.
Come together.
Yeah, there, finally.
Right
congrats,
now.
Lucy.
Over me.
Wow.
That's
like nonsense.
He bagged production.
Sure.
He got walrus gumboot.
Right.
He got Ono sideboard. He won spinal cracker.
He said one and one and one is three?
No.
Oh.
He got feet down below his knees.
One thing I can tell you is you got to be free.
No, hold you in his armchair. You can feel his disease.
Holy crap.
By the way, it's so weird that you're mocking this song on John Lennon's birthday.
Is it?
By coincidence.
Hmm.
Huh.
The lyrics to this song.
That was Beans.
The lyrics to this song are ridiculous.
Yes, they are.
They're insane.
And
wow.
Even if you know them, to put them in the right order is almost impossible.
I'll bet if Liam
Because it always seems like they all fit wherever you just say them.
I'll bet if Liam just went with jumble, just started just talking and just saying words wherever they fit, everybody would have gone, whee!
No, I think the opposite. Because
really?
The Beatle fans are so anal retentive. They would have been like, he destroyed that song. Because it's not Walrus Gumboot. There is Juju Eyeball
oh,
there.
He destroyed that song having the lyrics.
Yeah,
so.
Well, I'm just saying.
I'm going to say I agree with Ralph. I'm going to say we should cut him a slack burger with cheese. That's a very difficult song to know and sing.
I'm going to agree with Ralph, but there's no slack burger with cheese in my vocabulary.
Can I get onions on that slack burger? It's Monday morning. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office and see what people went to see. Blade Runner 2049 was the big winner, and its debut made $31.5 million. The Mountain Between Us made $10 million. That made it number two. It was third. My Little Pony debuted with $8.8 million, making it number four. Then Kingsman, The Golden Circle. American Made was sixth. The Lego Ninjago movie came in at number seven. Victoria and Abdul. Ah, finally, that's out.
Right? Mm. That's the one I am most excited about seeing.
Same.
Of everything that's out right now.
Right?
That's Judi Dench playing Queen Victoria. Victoria and Abdul. Who's with me?
Misunderstood your level of interest, sorry.
Flatliners was ninth, and Battle of the Sexes came in at number 10. Well, that's it for Harvey Weinstein, that piece of garbage. Fired from his own company yesterday after multiple harassment allegations surfaced over the past week, which had been going on for decades. God bless those brave women who were able finally to come out and say what was going on.
Yeah.
Because the stories and rumors had been circulating through Hollywood for many years, but no one really could pin anything to him because no one specifically would ever say what happened. And if some that did were paid off by Harvey to be quiet. So, finally, the truth is out, and it looks like he will no longer be working in the movie industry, which is spectacular.
What's that, Ellen? You think he'll be back?
Woody Allen. Who's rapey McDougal that fled the country? Who gets awards at Oscars?
Roman Polanski?
Yes. I mean,
still working in the business.
Yeah. I'm just saying. Let's be better by avoiding working with these people ever again. Wouldn't that be nice?
Well, yes, it would.
It sounds like he will no longer have his company, so that's a step in the right direction, at least. Can we have that?
Let's have that.
Let's have that.
For
Let's
now.
Let's celebrate that small victory. That's a good thing. And a bad thing is the passing of our friend Ralphie May. He is gone at the age of 45. Ralphie was a friend of the show and had done April Foolishness with us. And every time you ran across Ralphie, you left that experience happier. He was a kind, funny, loving guy, and sad that he passed away at the age of 45.
That was a punch to the gut, wasn't it, when you saw that?
Yeah,
oh, my God.
Sad. He'd been battling a brutal case of pneumonia, apparently, for 6 long weeks. And finally took his toll and caused cardiac arrest, apparently. So.
And refused to get off the road, by the way. That's the frustrating thing, is he did 8 shows in the last 6 days before he died. Like, why not be in a hospital or at least stay home and try to get better?
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's not his way. It was not his way. Today's celebrity birthday, Sharon Osbourne, 65 years old today. Actor Tony Shalhoub is 64. Scott Bakula, 63. Guillermo del Toro, the director, is 53 years old today. Comedian Nick Swartzen celebrates his 41st birthday. Brandon Routh is 38. And model Bella Hadid celebrates her 21st birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Did Dave forget?
Yeah,
completely. Don't we have this conversation every Monday morning at this time?
Yep. I said, hey, Dave, how's Harvey coming? It was about 15 seconds before the end of the song, and he said, O.S. Forgot to call him.
Well, we are always delighted to catch up with our friend Harvey in the newsroom over at TMZ.com. Hey, Harvey, how are you, man?
I'm good, guys. How you doing?
I just laughed so much. I didn't see it. I recorded it. But last night on your Fox show, you had Benjamin Netanyahu on.
Yep.
From Israel. And I think how hilarious your life is that in 1 minute you're hanging out with the freaking, you know, Prime Minister of Israel. That's what he is, right? Prime Minister?
He is indeed.
Yeah. And then the next minute you're worried about the Cash Me Outside girl. I mean, you have a weird life, Harvey.
No. It's but you know what? I need that for my sanity.
Yes,
the Cash
sure.
Me Outside girl, I, honest to God.
She's the best? Is that what you're saying?
I don't think that's what he's saying.
It will literally drive me.
Yeah, you can't dedicate your whole life to stories like that. You got to have something of substance in your world. I understand what you're saying.
It's exactly what I'm saying.
All right. Well, we're dying to hear your take on this Dana White story. Let's bring people up to speed because we've been having a very spirited debate here in the room about Dana's behavior. But why don't you tell us what happened,
Harvey? I can tell you firsthand. I was going to sleep on Saturday night, and my phone rang, and it was Dana, and he was livid. I mean, livid. Jason Aldean. Obviously, you know Jason Aldean was performing. You know when everything happened in Vegas.
When the shooting happened.
Yeah, he was the headliner for that country music festival in Las Vegas.
So there was a big UFC event over the weekend, and Dana had more than 100 first responders there. He had a lot of survivors there, and he wanted Jason to open the show and sing, and, you know, as a show of strength, especially for Vegas. So he says that Jason said, no, I can't do it. I'm too upset. I may never perform again. And then Dana finds out on Saturday night that Jason Aldean was on Saturday Night Live. He went ballistic. And he said, he was telling me, he said he's a liar. He was basically only out for his own self-promotion, that he should have been in Vegas. He shouldn't have lied to Dana, that this was just about being on a television show, which helps his career. I mean, Dana was crazed about this. So we put it up on the website. We have not heard from Jason Aldean. But I'm telling you, I've known Dana for a long time. I have never heard him this angry.
Wow. I gotta tell you, I'm a little surprised by this whole story.
What?
Just because, I don't know, just because it was such a horrific thing. And I think you sort of put this one on the back burner just because you don't know what's going through his head.
Like, who is he to tell Jason Aldean how to grieve, you mean?
Yes, and maybe Jason Aldean thought that at the time when he was talking to Dana. I mean, who knows what's going on, but I just feel like maybe there's a little too much going on to be that angry about something.
Well, he was.
No, I know, but I'm just saying seems
he,
like...
He was.
You also said in the TMZ article, Harvey, that Dana told you that he had reached out to a number of country music stars to perform for the same reason, because it was the country music community that, you know, that received
the right.
But they all turned him down?
Well, I mean, look, I could understand why a lot of people were too upset to perform. I can understand it. I mean, this was,
right.
You know, it makes sense. I think Dana's issue with Jason Aldean wasn't that he turned him down. Dana's issue was that he ended up on Saturday Night Live, and he feels that the whole thing was a lie because he didn't want to say, I'm not going to perform in Vegas, so he lied to him. Although, it's kind of weird, because if Jason's going to lie, he's going to be caught in the lie when he's on Saturday Night Live.
Of course, yeah. Yeah, I mean, your quote from Dana, though, F you, Jason Aldean, stay out of Vegas. I mean, it is on.
Dana can kick people out of Vegas?
Don't cross him, Kevin.
That's crazy.
You don't want that. All right, let's move on. Another music story on TMZ.com. On the phone with our friend Harvey Levin, like we do every Mondays here on the Kevin and Bean Show, is Nelly. He was in my neck of the woods in Seattle, got into a little trouble after the show. What happened, Harvey?
Well, he says he didn't get in trouble, but a woman says he did. It's a 21-year-old woman who was apparently partying with him at a bar, and she says she was invited to an after party in Jason's tour bus. He's performing in Washington, and she says she went into his room there, and without getting into too much detail, he raped her. That's what she says. Mm-hmm. And that afterward, they threw her off the bus. Somebody threw a $100 bill at her and said, get the hell out of here. So she went to police at about 3:45 in the morning on Saturday. They arrested Nelly on second-degree rape charges. We broke this on the website, and as soon as we broke it, they released him. They released him very quickly. And he is saying she is an absolute liar. That I spoke with his lawyer, and the lawyer said this woman is out for fame and money, and he can prove it. And he says he's had his investigator on this thing. They already have come up with evidence to show she has no credibility. And they say they are going to win this and that she is treading on dangerous territory to make the allegation she did.
This is the very definition of he said, she said. If there are only two people in the room, how can they prove?
Well, it's always that way with rape. Yeah, almost always.
And how do they think that they can prove what Nelly is claiming then?
Well, a rape kit will definitely come into
play.
Well,
except, you see, I don't know that a rape kit does prove that. I mean, a rape kit only proves they had sex.
Right.
Well, it could prove that it was non-consensual if there are problems around the,
it
can. It can,
but it doesn't necessarily.
She said she went along with it, right? Because she felt like she had no choice.
She says she had no choice. Right. I mean, she says it was, she kept telling him no, and he persisted. So, yeah.
Ugly.
I mean, rape kits don't generally tell the full story. They can be evidence. But ultimately, you're right. It's an issue of credibility, and that's why these cases are so dicey.
This is why I film every sexual encounter, you guys.
Oh,
this
is, no.
This is why there's a vast library in the Library of Congress.
How many videos do you have?
I mean, I'm going to start
it.
He's got four.
TMZ.com is where you want to go for these and other stories with our friend Harvey Levin. Don't forget TMZ airs on Fox throughout the day. TMZ Live at 4, also on Channel 11, and TMZ Sports Monday through Friday at midnight on Fox Sports 1. Have yourself a great week, sir. We'll talk to you next month. Coming up next half hour here on the Kevin Beach Show, we're going to be talking about the most popular and least popular dating keywords, things that you look for in a dating profile when you're online.
Like unemployed.
Unemployed would be one, might be a flag for some people.
A flag, okay, right.
But there are definitely some tips, I think, that are going to come out of that conversation that are going to help your online game when it comes to, you know, these dating apps.
So that's fungus. Fungus got to be one of them.
Huge positive, right?
No, I think that's a negative. I think that comes as a negative,
sorry,
too.
Sorry.
Butt stuff
positive. Would be a huge positive. Yeah.
Okay.
So that is coming up
for everyone,
next half hour here on Carrick. First, though, it's time for Beat Makes Us Guess.
Beat Makes Us Guess, yeah.
Ooh.
Beat Makes Us Guess, yeah.
Who gets penis slapped?
Beat is a dick.
Pretty dope, man.
Just want to tell ya.
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for Beat Makes Us Guess.
Yes. Make a note to talk to Omar about some of the sound bites. Yep.
It's an intro.
It's a great intro.
Perfect.
We all love it.
It was spot on.
We all love it.
Don't make this a bad list, okay? Don't make this one of your lists like, these are words that begin with M. And then we're supposed to guess what the top 10 are.
I hope that you will like today's list. I am interested in it. And part of the reason I'm interested in it is we all love technology, right?
Right.
There is a technology out that is immensely popular. Everybody is raving about it, buying it, and using it, and I don't get it, and I don't think I need it, and I don't think I want it, but it's Alexa. Alexa. Are you guys down with Alexa? Do you have the Amazon verbal search engine in your house or whatever it is?
But you know my problem is no technology can recognize my voice.
Right.
It just doesn't work.
It doesn't read.
Ever.
Ever. A lot of us who listen to you on the radio have no idea what you're saying either, Kevin. But I understand why Siri has problems. How about you, Ralph? You ever use Alexa?
I don't. I don't have Alexa.
Because I feel like, Allie, you?
She spies on you.
Oh, I forgot.
Yes. Okay. Hello. Yes.
I just feel like it's not that difficult to use a search engine. I don't need to talk out loud to, hey, bring me the weather, Alexa.
It's more than that, because you can set it up to operate your lights, and it makes phone calls for you and everything. Mm-hmm. It's not just a search engine. It is sort of like an electronic personal assistant.
Well, this list is about the websites that people in America are using Alexa to get to. So you say, Alexa, give me fill in the blank. The most popular websites in the United States that Alexa has been asked for in the last year. All right? Everybody got the topic?
Wouldn't they be similar to ones that people just would go on the computer to
They are up? Similar. They are definitely similar. We last did this list a little over 2 years ago, and there are some changes in the list. And I don't know if that has to do with the type of person who would use Alexa. Maybe has a little different interest than the general public, but I just wanted to give you that's the source is Alexa. Okay.
All right.
The most popular websites Alexa has been asked
All right.
In the last year. Kevin,
okay.
As is our custom, you are at the head of the table. You get first guess.
Pornhub.
Pornhub, I'm sorry, Kevin, is a great guess, but it is number 20 on the list. It is on the list, but it is number 20. Good thinking, though. And
nobody's saying that out loud. It's hard to say in a house.
That's true.
That's when you get in the computer, you type that in quietly, you can do that. You're not going, hey, Alexa, out to Pornhub.
Butt stuff.
When your sister's in the other room making dinner.
So you are, that's
You're
a,
wrong, sir.
I missed. That's a no for you. Ralph Garman.
eBay.
Yes, eBay is number 9 on the list, okay. Alexa. That's probably one you're using a lot, right?
I use eBay quite a bit, yeah.
All right, you're on the board. Miss Ellen McKay.
Google.
Yeah, Google is number 1, sure. That makes a lot of sense. Kevin, you're up.
FarmersOnly.com.
That's just in my house. I'm sorry, no Farmers Only.
They would say that out loud in the house.
Sure, yeah. If you live in a farmhouse.
All right, Ralph Garman.
How about Amazon.com?
Amazon
You're
is...
buying stuff. Let me see. Amazon.
And Amazon is number 5. Yeah. Yes, excellent guess. Miss Allen McKay.
Weather.com.
No, and I was very surprised by
That's
that.
That's odd.
That would have certainly been up there for me. Kevin.
Yahoo.
Yahoo's number 6. Great guess.
Thank you.
By the way, that's a search engine, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Because I never use Yahoo for anything.
But it also has news and stuff and everything. It's a
probably something people use a homepage or whatever.
Provider. Yeah. You know?
Ralph Garman.
If Yahoo's there, maybe AOL.com?
No.
No. But, 1972 was the last time that was searched.
Yeah. Good thinking, though. I see where you're going with that. Miss Allen McKay.
Yelp.
Yelp is not in the top 10 anyway. I bet it's further down on this list, though. I'm sure people do use it. Wow, this is a little tougher than I thought it would be. Again, if you're just joining us, Alexa says these are the most asked for websites.
I'm going to say something that Chip wrote down. Spotify.
That is a no.
You suck.
Really? And
that is also a surprise to me. I think that's a great guess.
Because
Spotify is also a website in addition to being an app, so that's a good guess, right. I think.
Netflix.
Netflix is number 10.
Right.
Number 10. Good thinking, Ralph. I think Ralph is in the lead on this game.
Ralph's got 3. Kevin and I have 1.
As usual. Allie McKay?
What about Facebook?
Facebook is number 3.
Of course.
Yeah,
Facebook.
Sense.
Facebook. All right.
Let's go around one more time. What do you think?
I'm going to say Napster.
You suck!
No.
An excellent guess, though, Kevin.
Facebook's up there. How about Twitter?
Twitter is number 8, Ralph Garman.
All right.
Although it does nothing for my stock. For whatever reason, people are using Twitter.
You don't get paid.
It couldn't be hotter. The president, that's the only way he talks to the people, and no one cares.
And no one cares.
So odd.
And it's doing nothing but losing money every week. Allie McKay, the final guess, please.
CNN.
CNN is further down the list. It's number 21. So I'm sorry, not number 10. All right, here you go, guys. Here's the
You're telling me that CNN was one below Pornhub?
Yes, I am.
As it should be.
Some of the ones I'm kind of surprised you didn't mention. Instagram, which is number 14.
Oh, yeah. Allie? But he used that. That's like Alexa's a verbal thing.
Yeah.
And Instagram is such a picture thing, you wouldn't think they would.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
Unless you're asking her to bring it up and then you walk over and look at it, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah. Allie, I don't know where you were with Craigslist.
Oh, Allie.
Craigslist is your people.
Allie, missed connections.
Number 12 was ESPN.
Sure.
Number 11 was LinkedIn. Sure.
You're walking around your house looking for a job, I guess.
LinkedIn.
10 was Netflix. I think you got that, Ralph. 9 was eBay. You got that. 8 was Twitter. Somebody had Twitter.
I got that.
All right. Number 7 was Wikipedia.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. Yeah.
Number 6 was Yahoo. Number 5 was Amazon. Number 4 was Reddit.
Of course.
Oh. Reddit. Still that big, you guys. Then Facebook. Number 2, again, another surprise maybe, I think, for that you didn't say, was YouTube.
YouTube.
Oh, yeah. Maybe same thing you're thinking is now you got to go look at it, though. And then number 1 was Google. That was the most asked for term via Alexa. And this has been Bean Makes Us Guess.
Bean Makes Us Guess, yeah.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
I think we owe an apology to some of our listeners for all the times Kevin said, Alexa, bring up Pornhub.
I mean, that did seem to turn on people's Alexa.
An apology? How about a you're welcome? How about that?
Alexa, Alexa, Pornhub.
Alexa, Pornhub.
Alexa, Pornhub.
Oh, I like the way she said that. That was good.
Yeah. Alexa. Lemon party.
No. Ralph is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Monday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What's up?
I'm giving away stuff.
Are you now?
Yeah, I got tickets to the K-Rock advanced screening of The Snowman. Are the kids cheering? Why are the kids cheering? They should be nowhere near this movie.
Do you want to build terrifying. A snowman? They can't wait.
That's not what snowman we're talking about. We're not talking about freaking Olaf. Talking about the murderous guy who takes people's heads off and puts them on snowmen.
Right. That's different.
Well, it's not as fun.
Michael Fassbender stars in this film. Looks terrific, by the way, based on a very popular novel. This is one of those crime thrillers that I really dig. Rebecca Ferguson's also in this. James Darcy, Charlotte Gainsborough, Toby Jones. Great cast. It's about a detective who has to investigate the disappearance of a woman who's pink scarf is found wrapped around an ominous-looking snowman, and then things go downhill from there. Once heads start getting replaced, they find, like, a body with a snowman head, and then vice versa. It's,
sounds awesome.
It's awesome. We're having a very special screening at the Pacific Grove Theater, October 18th. If you'd like to see this film, give us a call right now. 1-800-520-1067. First 5 callers through with that particular phone number. We get a pair of passes to the advanced screening of The Snowman.
Alexa, snowman, human head.
Right? It says here the detective's name is Harry Hole. That can't be right, right? That's got to be a typo. Harry Hole?
Hole.
Alexa, Harry Hole.
Stop.
That's what it says. Detective Harry Hole. Is that what it says?
Yeah, it does.
That's just reporting the news.
I'm just reporting the news. That's right. All.
There was a gynecologist in Northern Virginia when I used to live there whose name was... really, Harry Beaver. I mean, not a joke. It really, literally was.
Was it be?
Literally was his name.
Stop it.
He's a gynecologist.
Stop with your fake news.
I'm telling you, it's true. It sounds.
If that's your name and you're news. A gynecologist, you change your name.
It sounds.
Or you change your job.
Yeah. One of the
it
two.
Sounds too good to be true, but it happened.
Yeah, I just Googled it. There's a guide to Harry Hole. Crime fiction lover. It's real. Yeah.
Fictional character detective Harry Hole?
Hmm. Yeah. So if you need a guide to Harry Hole.
What kind of detecting is he doing? That's what I want to know. That's a different kind of detective.
That's something else right there, man.
Found some clues. I'm going to dust you for prints. Harry Hole.
Right.
Speaking of movies, let's look at the top 10 movies at the box office. We'll go see what people went to see in the theaters over the weekend. Blade Runner 2049 debuted with just $31.5 million. A lot of people thought it would do a lot more than that.
What do you suppose the reason was for that, Ralph? More people didn't go. Big stars.
But I think people, the movie industry in particular, overestimate the affection the American public has for Blade Runner.
Yeah, I think so, too. I never understood that.
It's kind of known,
liked it, but
it's well regarded around sort of critical groups of cinephiles, you know. But in terms of, like, mass success, not a big...
It's not like revisiting a Jurassic Park or an Indiana Jones or something like that that was a blockbuster.
Yeah, not a lot of love, people, for this franchise in general. So I think
it also wasn't
seems reasonable.
3 or 4 years ago, either. It was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago. And this movie, by the way, keep in mind, is the longest movie of 2017.
Oh, no.
Wow.
That's not necessary.
It plays almost close to 3 hours.
Oh, dear.
So you're getting less screenings per day as well, so that also cuts into your box office number. The Mountain Between Us was second at the box office with $10 million. It was third, My Little Pony and Kingsman, The Golden Circle, rounded out the top five. American-made Lego Ninjago movie, Victoria and Abdul, and Victor 2. He stops by from time to time. Mm. Flatliners and Battle of the Sexes were your top 10 films at the box office. Jackie Chan has announced there's going to be a fourth Rush Hour movie.
Huh.
I didn't know there was a third one.
I'm surprised there's only been three.
Shooting is expected to begin next year, early next year. Once Chris Tucker gives the final go-ahead, yeah, because he's so busy doing other stuff. He don't have time to squeeze this into his schedule. But Jackie says if Chris decides he's not doing the film, then it's not happening. He'll only do it.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Do you understand the check they're writing you, Chris Tucker? The franchise, by the way, has made $850 million.
Wow.
The combined total of the first three films, which is nuts. Right?
Especially since that third one was imaginary until right now.
And we were just talking about Olaf the Snowman, Josh Gad. Who's the best, by the way?
Love
who's
him.
Not? Who couldn't be a nicer, better, more talented guy?
Lovely human.
He just ruins every time he's on screen. He just ruins whatever project he's in.
You've never seen him on screen. Don't worry about it.
What is the incomprehensible?
Who knows?
Look, I'm not saying he's not a nice guy. If he were, you know, working at the hot dog
he's
and a stick, I'd be happy to
talented,
buy lemonade
too.
From him. But he
wow,
shouldn't be on.
Nice of you.
Shouldn't be on a TV show or a movie.
How about a Broadway stage?
Yeah, I can avoid him there. What's he doing now? What's he ruining now? What project is he infecting now with the gas?
Unnatural hate.
He's got a recurring thing he likes to do is where he will call ill children up as Olaf and call them and talk to them as their favorite snowman.
What an a-hole, huh, Bean?
Yeah, he's a piece of garbage.
Wow, you must hate him, huh?
Is he able to be convincing as he does that? Or do the kids just see through right through his terrible acting?
He says one of the great pleasures of his life is calling up very sick children and trying to cheer them up as the voice of their favorite snowman from Frozen. It's just as much my job as doing the voice for commercial reasons, he said. Josh is the father of two daughters, Ava and Isabella, and says he does get choked up sometimes talking to little ones and says he has lost some fans after speaking with them and it makes him realize that life is very, very fleeting, but he does what he can. So I think it's very, very kind of him.
A lovely man.
What
that
a
is
good
cool.
person. So much better than Bean. He said, I am. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Sharon Osbourne, 65 years old today. Tony Shalhoub turned 64. Scott Bakula is 63. Guillermo del Toro is 53 years old. Nick Swarsden is 41 years old. Brandon Routh used to be Superman. Now he's the Atom. Over there on Legends, he is 38. And Bella Hadid celebrates her 21st birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This time tomorrow, there's going to be so much screaming.
Right? Can't wait.
A lot of people yelling.
Can't wait.
And loud rock music.
Right?
That's how we're going to start our day tomorrow.
Can't wait.
Oh, wait. It's actually awesome because it's Breakfast with Foo Fighters tomorrow, right now, at this time on the Kevin and Bean Show. And by the way, even if you weren't lucky enough to win tickets to join us in the HD Radio Sound Space, you still can be part of the interview because we are taking texts. If you got a question you would like us to ask Dave and the boys, you can text it in anytime at 1-800-520-1067. And we will try to include that in the list of questions we'll be asking Foo Fighters tomorrow.
Let's leave out what were your influences? How about that?
That's not a good question. I don't think so.
Plus, asked and answered.
Ralph was talking about the box office over the weekend a few minutes ago, and we got into a little bit of a conversation about the new Blade Runner movie. Why Blade Runner 2049 was not as big a hit as a lot of people expected it would be. I didn't see it, but I'm going to be honest, and you may pillory me for this, but I don't think I ever saw the original Blade Runner.
Yeah, that's not surprising.
And I know it's beloved, but Harrison Ford is back just like he came back for Star Wars, just like he came back for Indiana Jones. Now he is back as Rick Deckard in Blade Runner 2049. The movie's getting great reviews. He's getting great reviews as being wonderful in this film. But unfortunately, not a lot of people are seeing it. Now, we have Mr. Ford on the phone, and I'm a little bit nervous here, Kevin, because historically he has been a tough interview for us.
Right.
But lately... And Ali, you fell in love with that interview in Britain with the lady on the morning TV show, right? Lately, he's been peppy.
Jovial, having a great time, very talkative.
So which is it?
I don't know. You never know what kind of Harrison Ford you're going to get lately if you get him on a press tour for Blade Runner 2049. But let's welcome him back to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hello, Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
Okay. Question answered. There's a phone in there. You want to get that?
Do we call it a bad time, sir?
A lot of people are calling me.
Well, yeah, because you're back in movie theaters. People get the opportunity to talk to the great Harrison Ford. Why wouldn't they call you?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Were you
There it is.
Wow, got a lot of calls there.
A lot of interview requests, it sounds like. So were you happy with the film? Are you happy with the way Blade Runner 2049 came out?
You don't strike me as a guy who will go to a screening or watch it after you're done. You strike me as a guy who would just walk away and do whatever's next.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah.
All right.
Sounded like you were going to challenge Kevin on that for some reason.
I mean, are you the type of guy who will watch this movie?
Sure.
Okay.
Oh.
What was the best part of working with Ryan Gosling?
Filming.
Okay, filming. Still sure, filming. But what part of filming?
The scenes.
Okay, which scene in particular, anyone?
The one with the robots.
All right. Okay. All right. What did you like most about Ryan Gosling?
Hair.
Hair.
He's got terrific
hair.
Dreamy.
Yeah.
Right,
seems like a very, very nice guy. Okay. Why are you revisiting so many of your roles from the 80s, Mr. Ford?
Money.
All right. Okay. Makes sense. I mean, do you also have affection for these characters? Like, is this character one you have hoped you would get the opportunity to play again?
Nope.
All right.
Okay.
Oh. Did I just hit the Indiana Jones whip? Who's there with you, Harrison?
Omar.
What's you happened? Have a friend named Omar?
Yeah, I got a guy named Omar.
We have a guy named Omar, too, but he's pretty weak.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yours?
Yeah, pretty weak.
Okay. All right, so what else is going on?
Why'd you just use the whip?
I like to use it once in a while.
You like to use
it once in a while.
Okay.
All right, Harrison, I'm just...
in my hand. So.
Right. Sure. Is it always in your hand?
No point not using it.
Right.
Okay. I'm just going to ask because how do we get the Harrison that we saw on the British TV show that was so laughing and joking and having fun? I thought that was the new Harrison.
It was till the box office came out today.
Oh,
I see.
Guys, sound like a choir.
Well, I apologize that more people didn't go see the movie. That would have been nice for you.
Yeah,
if they
it would have been.
Had.
But they didn't.
I mean, you were number one, just not by as much as they thought.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Okay. So, what's next for you then?
What else you doing?
Breakfast.
Breakfast? Right. What are you having?
Some breakfast.
Poached
eggs.
Okay.
Okay. Career-wise, though, I mean...
Hash browns.
Hash browns, mm-hmm. Right. Those are good.
Maybe some bacon.
Okay.
I like
bacon. Or sausage links.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, all right. Hearty breakfast.
A little fruit.
Okay. All right.
I like melons.
You like melons?
Yeah. Doesn't matter. Honeydew.
Uh-huh.
Cantaloupe.
Okay. Well, I think that...
bacon.
Right.
We don't need any...
kind of melon I like.
Any more information?
Some juice.
Matt, orange juice? Or?
I like orange juice.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey,
and,
enjoy that.
And lunch later on today.
Oh, lunch. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were talking about your career more than your food.
Probably make movies.
Okay.
Make movies.
All right. Always great to catch up with you, Mr. Ford.
Yeah, you too.
Okay.
Bye now.
You sure?
I mean... Yes.
So we're having a pretty good time.
You might be.
This is fun. Right, Omar?
Super fun.
Why is that song so good, by the way?
Right?
Right?
Because it rises against, that's why.
Andrew Siciliano will be on just after 8 o'clock. We'll spend about 20 minutes breaking down the Arizona Cardinals loss yesterday.
How dare you?
Be a lot of fun and all the other NFL action. First, though, I saw this article last week. From Plenty of Fish, which is very popular.
Why are you saying it like this?
Plenty of Fish, very popular online dating app and dating site, dating app. And they, I think this is extraordinarily useful for people. And there are many, many people listening right now who are using dating apps. That's their social life. That's how they get started. That's how they meet new people. And there is a way to write an enticing ad that will encourage people to want to swipe on you or click on you or email you, reach out to you. And then there are some things that are red flags for a lot of people. You know, everybody tries to put their best foot forward.
Sure. You lie. Basically, you lie.
As you represent yourself.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If you're a drunk, you certainly don't put that in the list. If you're unemployed, maybe you don't highlight that.
Okay.
But this was the headline that surprised me, is that the words pumpkin spice will improve your dating profile. Potential love interests, men now, are 8% more likely to reach out to a woman who has the words pumpkin spice somewhere on her dating profile.
All right, let me just say this. Fake news.
Yeah, this makes no sense.
That's fake news.
No sense at all. How could whether a potential date likes, if she likes pumpkin spice, how could that possibly matter to you?
I don't know. I don't buy it.
Unless
I don't know.
Unless you are super into pumpkin spice and you're just excited now you got someone to go to Starbucks
with.
How
many people are that way?
Right. And shouldn't there be an app just for those losers?
Just for those people. Get those off Plenty of Fish. Don't let them ruin the rest of us, right? So then this article goes on to say that there are lots of other words. They did they searched profiles to see what are the keywords that people are most likely to be attracted to. And it won't surprise you, for instance, that for men, women most enjoy seeing these words.
Vaping.
Nope. Mm. Vaping not on the list.
Not on the list.
Physically fit. Physically fit. That's the first thing that that's the biggest turn on for women, I guess, when they see physically fit in your dating profile.
Huh.
Allie?
That doesn't surprise you?
You would want somebody to be physically fit. I think that's there's no way to interpret that other than
probably
that's
wouldn't
a
be
positive.
My number one word search that I'd look for.
Physically fit.
Mm. All right. How about perceptive? That's number two. Perceptive. Ladies like to see a gentleman refer to himself as perceptive.
I don't know any guy that refers to himself as perceptive, so I'm calling BS.
So far, we're zero for two.
Yeah.
Now, wait. Are you saying you don't know any guys that are perceptive or just that refer to themselves?
I've never heard a guy say, listen, one of the things that I'm really proud of is how perceptive I am. No dude ever says that, thinks that, anything.
All right, I've got one. I've got one.
Yeah, go ahead.
Handsy.
Yes.
Well, Allie, you're looking for handsy.
Oh.
I feel like perceptive would just be a wasted word in a dating profile.
Yes.
Like, I would think that would mean you get no response
from
that at all.
Plus, a complete lie for you, so.
Spontaneous.
Another lie for you.
Do we like spontaneous for the gentleman?
I think more so than perceptive, sure.
All right. Outgoing.
Sure.
Really, that's positive. Mm-hmm. Chip, all right.
Sure.
Optimistic.
Yeah.
Again, kind of an odd word for somebody to pull out to put in a dating profile, optimistic. But maybe that's his worldview. I want people to know that I look on the bright side of things.
Bonerific.
Mm. It's not listed here, but it's possible.
Probably number six.
Just outside.
Yeah.
All right. By the way, we're going to be taking
Harry.
We're going to be taking.
Is Harry work?
It's not here either.
Okay.
We're going to be taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. How should we phrase this question? What words do you look for and what words do you stay away from?
Yes.
Both, right?
Yeah.
So we're looking for plus and minuses descriptions of people on dating apps that either get you interested or make you say no, 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 no. All right. Here are the five words that women might want to consider putting in their online dating profile. So these are the words that attract the most guys.
Harry.
Again, Harry, not on the list.
Not okay.
Number one, and this surprises me, and I don't know the methodology of this study, but I would think most guys, am I wrong, on a dating site, the first word that they would be looking for is something to do with their looks.
For sure.
They would want to see pretty, they would want to see voluptuous, they would want
even
to see sexy.
Physically fit.
Physically fit, yeah. Mm-hmm. According to this, though.
Do you think sometimes people that take these kind of tests, though, don't want to seem shallow? So they don't put hot in there because that's what they want?
But they also may have extracted this data just from the analytics of seeing who clicks on what.
They may not
have interviewed anybody. So 1-800-520-1067. The words you want to see, the words you don't want to see in a dating profile. So here they are. Five words women may want to consider using in their online dating profile. Number one, ambitious. Now,
you don't buy that,
mm-mm.
Allie? No?
No.
Is that a euphemistic way of saying I look after and take care of myself?
I'm an independent woman.
I'm independent, right.
I have my own money. I don't need yours. Because guess what? Sounds awesome. Mm-hmm. Till you get it. Then you realize those ladies might not need you as much as, say, a bottle service girl.
Allie's giving this some thought. All right, so ambitious, number one. Number two, again, with perceptive.
No.
No one uses perceptive.
And honestly, let's be honest. Dudes, if a woman puts perceptive, you don't want that.
Yeah, you
definitely
right
don't
want that.
To
She's going
to
see right through me.
Right?
Yeah, that's a great point. Number three, sweet. Guys are attracted to a woman who puts the word sweet in her online dating profile. I mean, I think you want a sweet woman, right?
I can see that.
Sure.
Number four, hardworking.
Again.
You don't think so? You don't think guys want women who make their own money?
I think guys absolutely say they do.
I know I do.
You don't think they do, though?
No.
I asked that poorly.
Yeah.
You don't think guys want a woman who is independently wealthy or has a great job that makes more money?
Some very much would like that, but overall, I think guys like to take care of
women. You think
it's
emasculating?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I sure do.
Please emasculate me. Some rich lady out there, please emasculate me. I never want to take care of you. Number four, hardworking. Number five, thoughtful. Thoughtful is the last one on the ladies' list there. So, I mean, that's a positive quality for anybody.
Sure.
You want a
right.
thoughtful person. It's kind of weird that that would be one that people would, you know, put so high up in their profile, though. I was surprised.
See, I would think sense of humor would be up there. Something.
Yeah. But how is sense of humor not in the top five?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Know.
Make them laugh, make them breakfast, right?
That's what I always heard.
Yeah.
All right, let's take Melissa real quick. 1-800-520-1067. Let's help out your fellow daters. What are the words you look for? What are the words you run away from in a dating profile? Melissa, Santa Monica, thank you so much for listening and for calling.
Yeah, absolutely. So whenever I see the word entrepreneur, immediately run away from, because I think that's just a really fancy way of saying I don't have a job.
Jobless?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that's code.
Yeah.
For sure.
What
really?
If the guy actually runs his own business?
It's very hit or miss. You run a risk of it, but I think it's safer to say no than it is to say there's really that many entrepreneurs out there in this world.
Yeah, that is really interesting. Listen, so this person could have big dreams, but if they're not doing anything with them, it doesn't help you.
Right.
Gotcha.
I mean, anyone's an entrepreneur, really, then, in that case.
Gotcha. All right. Great call. Yeah. Great suggestion. Thank you, Melissa. 1-800-520-1067. Dating apps. What words do you want to see? What words do you shy away from? We'll take your calls next on K-Rock.
All right. Just ahead of Gorillaz, let's take one phone call, and let's make it BB in Costa Mesa. Hi there.
Hey.
BB, we need your help for fellow dating app users. The words that you want to see, the words you don't want to see. What say you?
Right. So I.
Okay.
Something that I hated.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. BB, you cut out right there in the middle. So start over and tell us again.
Hey, can you guys hear me now?
Yes, now.
Okay. So something that I used to see a lot that I really hated and was untrue when I met the guy was, I'm really funny or I'm really witty. I have a great sense.
Oh, so sense of humor to you is a negative because it's usually not true?
Yes. So I don't want to see that you're funny on your dating profile. Put something funny in your profile. Don't just say that you're funny.
So show
me, don't tell me. Yeah. I got you. All right. Hey, that's a pretty good tip. We were wondering, you know, when we were talking about that list from Plenty of Fish, we were wondering why that wouldn't have been up there.
Right.
Maybe BB is one of the reasons why.
There you go.
I like it. More calls coming up after Gorillaz on K-Rock. Getting right back to your calls and your texts, by the way. Same number, 1-800-520-1067, about the keywords you do and don't want to see in dating profiles. Listen to this. Jorge writes in, the word straightforward raises a red flag. Now, again, straightforward for most people, I think, is a positive. He says, I feel that it means I speak out loud without a thought filter. That's what Jorge has taken away from the word.
Yeah, because sometimes people think, listen, I'm going to be honest with you. That means I'm about to be an a-hole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what that means.
All right. And Sean, what about this in Burbank? Far too many women in the online dating world. Why didn't you just start with actually, by the way? Do not understand the word sarcastic and think it is a positive. Really, it likely just means you're single because you're kind of a bitch. That's what Sean says. Is sarcastic a positive or a negative word in a dating profile?
I don't think I'd put it in there.
I mean, I wouldn't either.
I wouldn't put it in there, but I think Sean might
right?
look inward.
Right.
Just from that in me.
All right.
These are separate conversations on a word and a guy.
Let's take some more calls. Let's try Vitaly, please. Anaheim Hills Line 4 up first this segment. Kevin and Bean Show, 1-800-520-1067. Vitaly, what's going on, man?
Hey, mate, I heard the ambitious part, and holy crapple, that is definitely the word I'm looking for.
Ambitious. You want ambitious.
Yes, please, because since I'm going for PhD, if I am to date a girl, I kind of want her to be up there, to be ambitious. And
up there? Does that mean as intelligent as you?
As driven as you?
Sugar mama.
Yes. So it'll be very interesting, and I could learn from her, like, day in, day out type of thing, you know?
See, Allie, this is the guy you were wondering if he exists, the guy who wants to be challenged by his lady.
Yeah, that's what he's saying. Yeah.
Sounds like you don't believe him. All right, thank you, Vitaly.
That's what he's saying.
Appreciate the call. Let's go to Corona Line 3. This is going to be Haley. She's got some words that scare her away. Haley, welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show. What's going on?
Hey, one thing that I totally hate seeing on dating profiles is your extended family.
Your extended family.
I do not want to see your grandma. Don't want to see any of that. That's not a first date topic for me.
Interesting. So how about if a guy is like really into, spends a lot of time with his family, that's not a negative, right? You just don't want to see it in the profile. You don't need a photo of him with grandma.
Yeah, like on your dating profile, I want like a screenshot of your life.
Okay.
And like I want to focus on you, not your grandma and your cousins and what they're doing. I want to focus on you.
And there's nothing that seems like a positive to you about somebody who is kind to his mom and cares about his nieces and nephews. Like Family Guy doesn't look good to you?
No, definitely. That's definitely a positive thing. But on your dating profile, that's not what I want to see.
Not the place. All right.
You'll find that out soon enough.
Good advice, Haley. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Long Beach Line 1, see what Jeremiah has to say.
Hey, Jeremiah.
Artist is a big detouring word for me.
Artist.
And that's because they're not really an artist, you think? You think everyone who says they're an artist is just an aspiring artist?
I think that there's maybe 15% of them that are legit good artists with good discipline that make income, but a lot of them are just month-to-month, you know, livers.
Month-to-month livers.
Kind of like what Melissa said from Santa Monica. They're just kind of like the female version of entrepreneurs.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. Artists. Okay. So
perhaps we could hook Jeremiah and Melissa.
Right?
Because I'm not going to lie. She tweeted me. She's hot.
Okay.
So, Jeremiah, look her up.
Reach out to Allie on Twitter. Sounds like we got good news for you, Jeremiah. I appreciate the call. All right, let's try Juan in Newport Beach. Finally, line four. Finally, somebody is calling and saying what we've all been thinking.
Hey, Juan.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. What's the word that turns you off in the profile?
Crossfitter.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Crossfitter.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Right?
Right?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, it's cool if you would put, like, healthy or... Or, you know, fit, like you guys were talking about earlier. But
CrossFit is a religion.
It's a cult. It's like being vegan. Like, you got to say, oh, yeah, I CrossFit. It's just, oh, you douchebags.
Now, hold on a sec. Not everybody who CrossFits is a douchebag. But
it's 99.9%.
Yeah, I think Juan's on to something
here.
If you
put it in your profile, though, it probably does mean you're the person who will talk about little else other than CrossFit, right?
Exactly.
And try desperately to get you into it as well.
All right. And that's just too much work, right, Juan?
Yeah, no, screw that.
All right. Screw that indeed.
Thank you.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
It is a Monday morning here at the Showbiz Beat, so we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office every Monday. Blade Runner 2049 debuted with $31.5 million, number one at the box office this weekend. The Mountain Between Us came in at number two. That debuted with $10 million. Then It, My Little Pony, debuted with $8.8 million. Kingsman, The Golden Circle, rounding out the top five at the box office. American Made, The Lego Ninjago Movie, Victoria and Abdul, Flatliners, and Battle of the Sexes were the rest of the top ten. It was the New York City Comic Con over the weekend. A lot of news coming out from Comic Con over the weekend, including the fact there's going to be yet another Walking Dead spinoff series. Fans of The Walking Dead and its spinoff Fear the Walking Dead will be getting yet another appearance. In fact, it's going to be a crossover from one of the characters.
Oh.
From one series will go to the other. And then perhaps a spinoff as well. So, a lot more Walking Dead coming to AMC soon. The Tick over at Amazon. The series will be back for its final six episodes in late February of next year. They've finally given us the release date for the rest of those episodes. If you're not looking at The Tick on Amazon, by the way, you're missing out. It's so funny. Jill Scott will be joining the cast of CW's new superhero series Black Lightning as a villain. The singer will be playing Lady Eve, who, if you know your comics, is a villain with connections to the Cobra organization.
When you said Jill Scott, I thought, that's a singer.
It is. She's a four-time Grammy winner.
Had no idea she was an actress also.
Well, there you go.
How about that?
Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. It was announced over the weekend at New York City Comic Con that additional cast members have been added to that production as well. Former correspondent from The Daily Show, Jessica Williams, has been added to the cast. She's a very talented actress as well. Eddie Redmayne will be returning again as Newt Scamander. Johnny Depp will be reprising his role, short-lived role in the original, if you saw the film, as Grindelwald. Did you see the film?
I did. I liked it a lot.
He was the one that... Colin Farrell was in disguise.
Oh, right.
Remember, at the end of the film, Johnny Depp is revealed as the evil wizard. And Jude Law added to the cast as Aldous Dumbledore, young Dumbledore. The Weeknd, it has been announced, will get his own comic book.
I'm sorry?
The Weeknd.
When you said The Weeknd, I thought singer.
It is a singer. And it was announced at the New York Comic Con over the weekend that he's working with Marvel on Starboy.
Oh,
very popular.
Based on his album of the same name. Huh. It'll be out in 2018.
Do we need that?
So there you go. A lot of comic book news coming out from New York this weekend.
All right.
If you're a nerd. Speaking of the weekend, Foo Fighters headlined a recreation of the legendary 1970s California Jam Music Festivals on Saturday night. Kevin was there.
I was.
Kevin got on stage and played with them.
I did not.
And he was the lead singer for when they did come together.
It wasn't me.
I heard. What?
It was not me.
Oh.
It was hard to tell that whoever it was just had a hoodie on.
Liam Gallagher.
He looked like the Unabomber, right?
He really did.
Joined the Foos on stage along with Aerosmith guitarist Joe Perry for a go at the classic Beatles song Come Together. Here's a little taste. Here's what it sounds like. Not the lyrics at all. Not the lyrics at all to that song.
I feel like if he just said one and one, three would have rhymed with C, so you would have gotten that.
But none of them were right. None of them.
Oh, zero of those lyrics?
No.
Leading up to that?
No. Not even.
Wasn't he reading them?
It's not Goo Goo Eyeball. It's Juju Eyeball. He won Holy Roller. It's all the lyrics. All that was all wrong.
Wasn't he reading them on a piece of paper?
That's what the rumor was. Yeah. That's the word on the street.
Huh.
But apparently he can't read his own writing because it was all incorrect. And
that's
I maintain that is one of the most difficult songs in the world to sing because the lyrics are
nonsense.
They're nonsense.
Until you said them earlier this morning, I had no idea
you,
what
you convinced me as well. As
craziness
we should
that is.
Give you a break if you're trying to sing that song.
Yeah, it's really, really good.
And then he tried to stage dive, right?
What sort of stage dive? He sort of just laid back on the crowd, let him push him around.
Would you ever do that if you were as famous as Liam Gallagher?
Stage body surf more than a stage dive.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I mean, aren't you just asking for people to rip off your shoes and your coat and steal your wallet and all the other stuff?
No.
Have you ever been in a concert where there's stage diving?
Yes, but I'm saying
no one gets robbed by the crowd.
I just feel like you can't trust people.
Take out his wallet, take out $100 and put it back in his pocket.
He's stealing shoes from someone who stage dives. Have you ever seen anyone's shoes get stolen when they stage dive?
There was some star, and I wish I could remember who it was
That would help your argument.
There was some star who had a pair.
A lot of people are saying that a lot of people get their shoes stolen when they stage dive.
Somebody will help us out with this. Somebody will know the story I'm referring to. But it was somebody like a Peter Gabriel or somebody like that who used to do that. And they used to go backstage before that song that they stage dived to or crowd surfed with. And switched into a pair of super cheap shoes because people always would rip the shoes off their feet when they were out there as a souvenir because, hey, you're going to get away with it. You know what I mean?
Or his arm. You know, they take his arm.
I don't think that happened.
Right?
And I maybe that's what just stuck
a
in my mind.
Sample?
Maybe it's not common, but I do remember hearing that story and thinking, wow, of course that makes sense that people are going to just grab for whatever they can.
Well, I would guess if he knows he's going to do that, that he would probably take important stuff out of his pants.
Yeah, not have your house keys in your jeans or whatever. Sure. Yeah. But Liam Gallagher was fine.
All right.
Yeah, one stole his shoes.
Okay. As far as I know.
That's a great update. Thanks,
wallet.
Bean.
And then they also did Draw the Line, the Aerosmith classic. Since Joe Perry was there, I guess they figured they'd do a little Aerosmith as well. Here's what this sounded like.
Love that song. Love it so much. Imagine how many covers the guys in Foo Fighters know.
We'll find out tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
It's all covers.
Thank you for reminding us.
We're going to do all covers tomorrow.
Well, I don't know
if
that's
all covers. 100% covers. I don't want to hear any goddamn Foo Fighters songs. I want to hear is songs from other artists. I wanted them to do Rick Springfield and Eddie Money and some Archers of Loaf.
I'm not going to let you be in charge of the covers.
And maybe some Captain and Tennille.
I don't think that's probably likely, but they
do. Well, that would be fun.
They know Queen songs and Black Sabbath songs and Kiss songs.
What was that loaf thing you said?
Archers of Loaf.
Open up a blog, Allie.
Me with that face. You put that face away. You save it for a rainy
Kevin,
day.
Kevin, what's their number one
I
hit?
Don't know their music, but I always use their name as a comedy trigger name because it makes me laugh.
Okay.
Archers of Loaf.
Yeah.
It's just dumb.
Breakfast with Foo Fighters tomorrow, 7 a.m. here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
And Archers of Loaf on Wednesday.
I hope they'll be doing some covers, but I'm sure they'll also do some Foo Fighters songs.
We're back. Hollywood Babylon returns to L.A. We've been on the road doing the show all over the state of California and Florida and whatnot. And
I think there is definitely a sense of disappointment.
We're looking forward to getting back to our home, Hollywood Improv on Melrose. We're doing it Friday night, the late show, 10 p.m. No. Friday night. Kevin Smith and I taking the stage again to do Hollywood Babylon at the Improv on Melrose. You can go to improv.com to get your tickets.
No.
Looking forward to seeing everybody out there on Friday. Today's celebrity birthdays: Sharon Osbourne, 65 years old today. Tony Shalhoub is 64. Scott Bakula is 63. Guillermo del Toro is 53. Nick Swardson turns 41 years old today. Brandon Routh is 38. And Bella Hadid celebrates her 21st birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
He is the host of Up to the Minute on the NFL Network and DirecTV's Red Zone channel. We talk to him every Monday about this time. Ladies and gentlemen, our friend Andrew Siciliano joins us in studio. Andrew!
Hey, everybody.
What's going on, my friend?
How are you guys?
There's never been a weekend with more great stories to get into, but do you mind if we spend 60 seconds talking baseball?
60. Go.
Go.
No, I'm kidding.
Andrew and I were in the other room.
I don't think we can do this in 60.
Of course we can.
Andrew's trying to figure out how to work the red-eye flights to make it to Cleveland to see the Indians if they advance.
Oh, is that right?
They blew it last night, though. Yes.
Would you like to see the Indians play the L.A. Dodgers in the World Series?
I would love to see the Indians play the Dodgers. And you and I were talking about this before. The Dodgers this weekend look like the midsummer Dodgers where they couldn't care less about any other person in the building and that it was a different guy winning it every single night, and Puig's running to the bases and sticking his tongue out, and Kenley Jansen's dominant. And this, well, I mean, Kershaw gave up the homers in the seventh inning, and that was kind of to be expected in the postseason. But they look like the ridiculous, nobody can stop us Dodgers again. Finally,
that's what everybody's saying this entire season is. Hopefully, they're that team. They can be that team.
And then August happened. And then they fell flat on their face, right. And it was almost comical. I know Dodger fans don't want to hear that. How they would find a new way to lose every night.
Right.
Right?
But now that it's important and they're finding new ways to win, good.
They have, like the old Lakers teams, hey, can we, as Phil would say, flip the switch come playoff time? Right. Remember that?
Uh-huh.
They have flip the proverbial switch. If you can do that in baseball, they have found a way to do that.
I don't know if it's possible to have been bored back in August, but maybe that's all it was. Maybe they just, you can't go at that level of commitment every night.
Well, that's my thing. If you're peaking that early in the season, you can't stay at that level all the way through the playoffs. You know that there's going to come a letdown.
Well,
I'd rather it be in August.
The thing with the Indians, too, they started their run the third week of August, right? When the Dodgers started their decline,
right.
In essence. And the same logic goes for them. Can they maintain that
exactly now?
Yeah. On the 23rd of August, the Dodgers had a 23-game lead over the Indians, or a 20-game lead over the Indians for the best record in baseball. A month later, it was a one-game lead.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how hot and cold those two teams went.
Well, I hope that's where it ends up, because it'd be such a great story awesome. How long it's been for L.A. and the troubles that Cleveland has had and losing the way they did last year. That's the World Series I want. But all right,
and
so
seeing them lose again,
feeling
be great,
feeling good,
right back at you,
feeling good about the Dodgers against Greinke tonight.
I'm feeling good against about the Dodgers against Greinke. I'm not feeling good about Darvish against the D-backs.
Yes. He has not proven himself yet since he's been in L.A.
He has not. And when you saw what the Yankees did yesterday, when you saw what the Red Sox did in the afternoon with the home team getting back on their own field, the crowd behind them, they found a way to make it interesting. Something in my gut tells me that's what the D-backs do this afternoon.
I hope you're wrong. We'll find out. All right. Let's transition to your sport, football. Where do you want to start? What a crazy, crazy weekend.
I don't know. Remember 2 weeks ago we were here and I said, I don't know if we've ever had a better window of games.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday's games were close, but they weren't necessarily good.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Close does not always mean good.
Correct.
But then if you see right now, this is the ESPN.com headline stack for the NFL.
All right.
Headline one, Watt fractures leg out indefinitely.
Oh.
Headline two, Dolphins assistant in video snorting powder.
Okay, that's a good one. So we're one and one.
Okay, we're good. Headline three, Jerry Jones, Cowboys who disrespect flag won't play.
That's not going to go over well with the
Headline
team.
Headline four, Kelsey has trouble remembering. Headline five, Raiders left tackle Penn confronts fans in parking lot. Headline six, Beckham breaks ankle, Giants 0-5.
Oh, no.
Man, oh, man.
All right, let's start with one that's not on the list because I'm fascinated to get your take on Big Ben.
Yeah.
They had, was it literally the worst game of his professional career?
Yes, he threw five picks, did not throw a touchdown. It was literally the worst game of his career.
Let me bring this up because they interviewed him afterwards and he's like, I just didn't play well. I didn't play well. He's just being
He said more than that.
Yeah, he was sulky McSulky.
Yeah, oh, I know. Yeah. Maybe I lost it and all that kind of stuff. But at least two of those interceptions were tips.
Sure. I mean,
he has no control over that whatsoever.
No, right? you're correct. And that's the quarterback's job to say, hey, that's on me.
Right, but it isn't.
It's not his job to say, hey, you know what, catch the ball when I put
it
in your
belly. But sometimes those tips are because you throw it a little high.
Maybe. Sometimes.
Maybe or a little low or whatever. Yeah, maybe.
Look, the thing that stood out to me about Ben yesterday is, A, the Steelers aren't as good as we think they are. But B, the turmoil of the last couple of weeks, I think, has caught up to this team. And then Ben after – look, Ben is known. Ben is known as someone who likes to be dramatic around the league. Mm-hmm. Opposing players, and this is not a secret, often say, we never know when he's hurt because he's always dragging his leg and slow to get up.
That's interesting because if you don't follow them very closely, you go, wow, that guy's really playing through pain.
Now, I'm sure he has. Who am I to question his pain? And I mean that, all right? He's a big dude who takes a lot of hits. He's played a long time. I don't doubt he has played through a lot of pain. This is what opposing players, however, will tell you.
I got you.
He also likes to say things, woe is me, a lot. And this, to me, was one of his, when he says, maybe I don't have it anymore.
Yeah, that's just, that made me.
Woe is me. So it obviously elicits comments from the other guys, his teammates, in their post-game locker room interview, saying, oh, no, he still has it. We support him. And it's like, I mean, really, a week after you throw Antonio Brown under the bus and question him publicly for his tirade, which by the way, was childish,
right?
A week after the whole anthem thing.
Where he threw his whole team under the bus.
Well, no one knew what was going on there, whether it was Tomlin's fault, whether it was Ben's fault. They all were
But he was not on the same page as the rest of the club,
who
is what I'm saying.
It seems like that whole club is a mess.
It seems like these last 2 weeks, they are a mess, even though they won last week in Baltimore. And then Ben says, well, maybe I don't have it anymore. This is a guy who, by the way, spent the entire offseason saying, maybe I'll come back. Mm-hmm. And no one ever doubted he would come back. And again, who am I to question if this guy wants to hang it up and spend time with his family and get away from the game healthy?
His family
good for
doesn't
him.
Want him.
Good for him, right? But as Bill Parcells once famously said, if you're thinking about retired, you're retired. Mm. Right?
Wow.
In other words, if you're thinking about it, if you
really
put out the
about,
door.
But we don't know what he's really thinking.
We don't know what he's really thinking
he
is the
there's
point.
There's no way he thought maybe I've lost it. There's just no way he thought that.
Well, no, you can look at it. Let's be positive here. Good for you being a team leader, saying, A, it's my fault.
Right.
And
all good.
And being transparent and publicly frail, like willing to admit your faults.
Right, but that's not what he did. Maybe I lost it as a completely different sentence.
But Kevin, don't you go home at the end of a 5 moments with day and go, you know what, maybe my time has come. Yeah, maybe it's time to hang it out.
It's got to be 10 to 12.
Maybe I can't stand you guys anymore.
And he doesn't say it on the air to make all of us go, no, Kevin, you'll be better tomorrow.
Okay. He just goes home and weeps silently into his pillow.
As Ben should have done.
Do we have time for one more before the break? We have to break here.
We need
to
break.
Oh, you're a bad man.
We need to break.
Andrew Siciliano is here from the NFL Network. We'll talk Rams and Chargers and so much more right after this on K-Rock. Andrew Siciliano is here. How about that battle of the NFC West yesterday with Los Angeles versus Seattle?
What a game. And the fact that the Rams were still in it, despite turning the ball over 5 times, and the fact that they coulda, woulda, shoulda won it at the end is...
That is insane.
Is insane. Is stupefying.
Usually, 3 turnovers is enough to do.
No, 5, you don't win. You're right, done. You can go home.
Right.
You are free to leave now.
Now, I think you told us last week that the Rams have the number one offensive totals in the NFL this year.
They did until 35 points a game. Obviously, they did not. They got to 10 yesterday.
Being kept to 10, that's unusual for them.
Amazing performance by the Seattle defense. Pete Carroll on that defense gets all the credit in the world. The Rams made a lot of mistakes, but give the other team credit. At the end, though, the fact that Jared Goff put it on the hands of Cooper Kupp in the end zone. Listen, it was a tough play to make. There's this old adage, if it hits your hands, you're supposed to catch it.
Yep.
Yes, that's what the rule is. That's what they say. It would have been a spectacular catch if he caught it. But he could have caught it, and he put it on his hands.
But Goff made it where he could catch it.
Yes, it was a tough play. Listen, Cooper Kupp is going to score a lot of touchdowns for the Rams. You can't beat him up because he's beaten himself up already.
Yeah.
Tough loss.
But that would have been an amazing comeback to get to 4-1 and to win that game. If they had won that game like that, because it does not get easy now. You got to go to Florida, got to play the Jaguars. You got to go to London to play the Falcons.
Does any team love London?
Row.
Does any team love it?
The Jaguars do now. I mean, they
because they always
beat
win.
The snot out of them. They're always win, but this week they're this year they won. They beat the snot out of the Ravens, and they're signed up to play there every year through 2020.
Is that right? Because don't you think all of them look at the schedule and go, "Oh, come on, London."
Oh, the players are probably sick of it.
Okay,
the coaching staff is sick of it. Ownership.
Gotcha.
Which has a big foothold there, as do the Rams, by the way, because the Rams have played there a whole bunch. They go every year as well. The teams that go every year, Rams, Jaguars, et cetera, have built a good business there.
They make big money.
There's money to be made there, but you're also helping grow not only the league's brand there, but your own brand there as well. Stan Kroenke, who owns the Rams, also owns Arsenal.
Oh, is that right?
The soccer team.
Okay.
Shad Khan, who owns the Jaguars, also owns a soccer team in London, and so
makes
part
sense.
Of a bigger plan.
He owns Manchester United, doesn't he?
No, he owns a team that got relegated.
Okay, all right, never mind.
Fulham, I think? I don't know.
Chargers win a game.
Yay!
Right?
Yay!
They've had a tough go moving up the five to get anyone interested in their team. Nobody wanted them here. Nobody cares about them here. They got to start winning if they're going to change that. So at least maybe it's the first step in the right direction.
This is the first step in the right direction. They found a way to hang on to win. Now, granted, they beat the 0-4, now 0-5 Giants, right?
Right.
But like, I hate
but at least the Giants were healthy, so they got that going on for them.
God.
Right?
I don't know that I've ever seen that in any game.
I haven't either.
So the Giants, for those who don't know, lost 4 wide receivers in the game.
In one game.
At the end of the game, they had tight ends lining up as wide receivers. They had no one. Odell Beckham Jr. is in all likelihood out for the year with a broken ankle.
Awful. I almost threw up when I saw that.
Dwayne, the injury? Yeah. It was one of those ones where when you see it was Theismann-esque.
Because I have broken my ankle before, and that was my instant reaction was to throw up. I don't even understand it. But as soon as I see that, I have to block my eyes. I can't.
And put yourself in his shoes for a second. This guy, remember, he didn't hold out. So he and Aaron Donald of the Rams are in the exact same situation. Matter of fact, they were picked back-to-back same year, right? So they're both in the fourth year of their contract with the fifth year already locked in. They want deals now.
Right.
Aaron Donald held out until the first week. Odell Beckham was there the entire time, all right? So these guys say, pay me now, I don't want to get hurt. Well, Beckham now went out there and got hurt. Now his money's locked in for $9 million next year, whatever it is. He's going to get paid. But now he faces the prospect of having to negotiate a long-term deal while rehabbing a broken ankle. The Giants are 0-5. There are people that want the coach out. There are people that want the GM out. And there are people that want Eli Manning out.
I was wondering when we're going to get Eli.
Now, we've talked all about the Jets, right? The Jets are going to tank, and Sam Darnold or Josh Rosen is going to be your back page quarterback next year for the Jets. Now it's going to be the Giants because they're 0-5.
Yep.
They could be at the top of the draft next year taking one of those guys to be Eli's replacement.
Wow. How things change quickly.
It's absurd. And then J.J. Watt is out
there. And by the way, there's no such thing as God or karma if J.J. Watt gets hurt this year, right?
With he got hurt last year, too. He missed all of last year.
But this year, with what he's done for his community, come on.
$35 million raised.
I don't think God is in heaven deciding, all right, let's break his
ankle. God should be.
Wait, God decides football?
If God has
so I was right as a 10-year-old.
I'm saying if God has the ability to make people not get hurt, J.J. Watt should get a bye right now. He should get an exception.
But I'm saying that's not how it works.
Well, Maybe that explains Edelman.
He should get the invisibility cloak.
There you go. Thank you. Carson Wentz, best game of his career?
Yes.
Yesterday? Best
Hands
game
down.
Of his career.
The only Eagle
this
quarterback
guy with a lot of highlights.
Only Eagle quarterback to ever throw 3 touchdowns in the first quarter. He threw 4 overall. They are legit.
Carson
they
Palmer was real. Almost as good. Very close.
And Jay Cutler.
And Jay Cutler.
We didn't even get into the fact that the Dolphins O-line coach resigned this morning because a video dropped at midnight on Facebook and Reddit of him with a table full of white powder that we didn't know what we don't know what the white powder is, of course.
That's the thing is, every time a video like this comes out, you pretty much know what it is, but you can't prove
it. You can't prove it.
So no one says what
it
is.
It could be fun sticks. And,
sure.
And he says he's talking to a female friend saying, I miss you. I'm about to go into a meeting. Now, to be fair, we don't know that that is a current video and that desk is in the Dolphins building. Like many NFL assistant coaches, he has been well-traveled, right? It could have been any other job. Right. It could have been in a hotel room. Who knows?
Right. We don't know.
But he resigned this morning, and they have that mess as well.
There's a lot going on, Andrew. That's for sure. Keep
Jerry Jones said that you got to stand for the anthem now.
Yeah. Yeah, that happened.
That happened.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Pence, the VP, left Indianapolis early yesterday.
We can't. Right. We don't even have time to get into
right.
that. I thought the anthem thing was winding down, by the way. But it the administration figured out a way to keep it alive, don't they?
It was. Hey, I'm not blaming anyone. I can state a fact, though.
Yes,
it
you
was,
can.
For all intents and purposes, over week two when only 9 players did anything.
Well,
by the way, I speak as myself, not as an employee of any other media. Or
same.
There's Andrew
league.
Speaking directly for the Red Zone channel on DirecTV and up to the bit on the NFL Network.
I hate you.
See you next week.
Goodbye.
Bye now.
Every day this week here on K-Rock from 9A to 5P, you can win tickets to one of the upcoming Depeche Mode shows. By the way, Thursday at the Hollywood Bowl sold out. Saturday sold out. October 16th sold out. October 18th, a few tickets available if you still want to get in on some of that Depeche Mode action. Or you can win them right now from us at 1-800-520-1067 with a game that we call Kevin Abina Rope.
If you want tickets to a show and if you really want to go see a band, you're a fan, put your hands up, because now it's time to play Kevin and Abina Rope. Kevin and Abina Rope. It's everybody from the crew, they're going to sing a song for you. So listen up, you'll get it right. You're going to sing with other mics. It's time to play Kevin and Abina Rope. Kevin and Abina Rope.
I think that's Beer Mug's greatest work, by the way, right there.
Agreed.
All right, so we're all here. It's Kevin and Bean and Ralph and Allie, Dave, Chip, Christine, all here ready to sing a Depeche Mode song. All you have to do is identify it by title. We'll sing lyrics. You tell us what the title is of that Depeche Mode song.
Dave, you ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Christine, you ready?
Yeah, guys, I lost my voice this weekend. I don't know if I should play.
Yes, what? You should play.
No.
Oh,
fun. You just name the song. You go into a drawing, and somebody's going to win tickets for Depeche Mode. I just said fun. I didn't say anything creepy. I just said fun.
No.
All right. So let's meet our first contestant, and then we'll spin the wheel and find out who's doing some singing.
Jenny in Westminster. Hi there.
Good morning.
Good morning. Are you ready to guess a Depeche Mode song?
I'll do my best.
All right. Let's see who's going to sing it.
Come on, Christine. By the way, bad voice.
You're not.
What? I'm rooting for.
Dean.
Assistant producer Christine, yeah! How about that? What are the chances? What are the chances?
Guys, this is a karaoke game. Right. Sing, so.
Right. So here's the first song from Christine.
Oh,
good
geez.
Luck.
All right. There's a new game we like to play, you see. A game with added reality. You treat me like a dog, get me down on my knees.
Master and servant.
Yes, it is.
Yay, Jenny. I'm sorry, Jenny.
All right.
Nicely done.
Jenny is in the drawing. Well done. Who's up next, please?
Jennifer and Castaic. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Are you ready?
Yes.
I like this. We go from Jenny to Jennifer.
See who's going to sing your lyrics, and it is assistant producer Christine.
It has to stop rolling. We
Christine is going to be singing your lyrics.
Guys.
All right. Good luck.
I'm sorry, Jennifer. I'm going to try my best. Here you go. He knows where he's taking me where I want to be. I'm taking a ride with my best friend.
All right. Jennifer?
Is that Never Let Me Down Again?
It is.
Oh, my God. Jennifer.
All right. Nicely done.
Christine, you can complain, but 2 for 2.
Right?
Eight?
Proof is in the pudding.
Oh,
let's
sorry.
Go to Annelle in Bell Gardens. Hi, Annelle.
Hi.
Hi. Lots it landed on Christine, assistant producer.
Oh, already?
Oh, what a surprise.
Kevin,
3 times in a row. What are the odds?
That is so weird.
Never happened before.
And that was an abrupt ending to the spin, too. Weird.
It hurt my arm a little.
It is. It is.
All right. Hang on, Adele. Here's Christine. She's going to try to sing.
All right. Sorry. I'm going to try. Okay. Though my views may be wrong, they may even be perverted, she'll hear me out and won't easily be converted.
All right.
I'm going to say wrong.
You are correct. It is wrong.
Sorry, that's somebody.
I'm sorry, Annelle. I'm sorry.
She didn't have gotten it anyway, even if one of us sang it.
I think Martin Gore would be very proud of that.
Right?
It was well done, Christine.
All right, you guys, somebody else.
Let's
come
go to
on.
The wheel.
It's the wheel.
It's the wheel. It's not us.
It's completely random. Heber in Northridge. Hi.
I'm ready.
Hi, Heber. How are you? Ready? Happy holidays.
Thank you.
Good luck. I'll let it finish this time. All right? Yes, we all heard happy holidays. Oh, it's assistant producer Christine. Yeah! How about that?
All right.
What a surprise.
Okay, seriously?
Yep.
All right, here we go. Come on, Heber.
Bring it.
Feeling unknown and you're all alone. Flesh and bone by the telephone. Lift up the receiver, I'll make you a believer.
I am a personal Jesus.
Yes! Yes.
All right, well done.
Nicely
done. Heber, well done. Christina, we have time for just one more. I'm sorry to say, who's our final contestant?
It would be Linda in Los Angeles. Hi.
Oh, my God. I've been getting all of them right.
Perfect.
So if I get mine wrong, I'm probably going to have to kill myself.
Well, let's not do that.
Let's not go that far.
Now, who are you hoping it lands on here,
right,
Linda?
Hold on now, because now I spun it, and now we have to stop it and ask you. Who are you hoping for?
Christina.
Yes, okay, good.
Well, look at that.
That's Christine. How about that? What a crazy coincidence. Five in a row.
Oh, my God. Linda, I'm going to do my best. I'm sorry. Okay, here you go.
Okay.
It's obvious you hate me, though I've done
nothing wrong.
I've never even met you, so what could I have done?
People are people.
Yes.
People are people.
Yes.
All right, 4 out of 5 are in the drawing. Is it going to be Jenny or Jennifer, Heber or Linda? Only one will win tickets from K-Rock for Depeche Mode at the Hollywood Bowl. Miss Allie McKay, who's our winner, please?
You know what I'm going to have Christine pick.
Oh, Christine.
Christine's going to pick as well.
Get her back on the mic.
I'm going to have Christine pick is
okay,
what I said.
Yes. Jennifer from Castaic.
Jennifer. Congratulations, yes. Jennifer.
Woo!
You're going to see the band. Thanks for playing the game.
Ralph is here with our final look at the showbiz beat here on a Monday. What's going on?
We'll let people know that Kevin Smith and I are returning to California and returning to Los Angeles this weekend with Hollywood Babylon. We've been gone for a while, but we're coming back home to the Improv on Melrose Friday night, 10 p.m. Love to have you come out and join us. It's pretty simple. You just go to improv.com, and then you click on Hollywood Babylon, and you join us Friday night, 10 p.m. We have a pretty good time. I think you will, too. And I'm always in the bar afterwards if you want to come up and say hi.
Buy him a drink.
Actually, I'll buy them a drink.
Oh, right.
At least I could do.
How long are you in the bar after the show, Ralph?
Till, you know.
Day or two.
There's no more alcohol.
Until they close?
Yes, until they close.
Okay.
You act like it's ridiculous.
No.
Look, the show starts at 10. I'm usually not off stage till midnight.
Uh-huh.
The place closes at 2.
Okay.
It's like 2 hours. That's perfectly reasonable amount of time to hang out in a bar.
All right.
And that improv bartender, we have discussed it.
Yes.
His pour is worth the price of admission.
He is generous.
Yes.
And he is competent.
Yes.
Good old Eddie.
Love yum, him. Yum. Give me some of that.
Right? Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office from the weekend to see what people went to see in the movie theaters. Blade Runner 2049 debuted at number one with $31.5 million. Then The Mountain Between Us, also a new movie, made $10 million in its debut, and I made it number two. It, My Little Pony, Kingsman, The Golden Circle were the top 5 films. American-made Lego Ninjago movie, Victoria and Abdul, Flatliners, and Battle of the Sexes. Those are your top 10 films at the box office. Good news, Harvey Weinstein's been fired from his company, The Weinstein Company. He, of course, is the movie producer who we found out over the past a week or so, I guess, about the multiple sexual harassment allegations that have surfaced going back decades from people that he worked with in his own company, also actresses. Anyone he had a chance to take advantage of, seems like he did in his twisted sexual nature. And so his own company has fired him. The board of directors made a statement that he would be forced from his company. So that's good news. People who have worked with him, people were waiting to hear statements from, are starting to come out. Meryl Streep has released her statement saying she was unaware of what Harvey was doing, but she is disgusted by it. And I believe that to be true because people like Harvey, what they do is they punch down. I'm sure he was on his best behavior around superstars and people that he needed to be in his films. I bet he only took advantage of his position when there was a woman who either worked for him or was in a lesser position to be able to stand up for herself.
Yeah, really needed him.
That's who he
on
took,
your way up.
That's who he took advantage of. I doubt that he was ever anything but a gentleman in front of Meryl Streep because he needed her to be in his films. I feel bad for people like Judi Dench, another example of a classy actress that he worked with, and apparently she had no idea what was going on because she was so grateful for his help in her career when she did the movie Mrs. Brown. That she had his name tattooed on her butt.
That is...
No.
Is that true?
Yes. You don't want to wake up with that today.
Judi Dench?
As a thank you, yes.
Is that true?
Thank you?
Yes.
Oof.
She said she never would have made it in the movie business if it wasn't for him. And as a funny thank you, she had his name tattooed on her butt.
Look, I love that she's willing to do that. But today.
Yeah.
It's yeah, no.
Yeah. Yeah, retrospect.
When you wake up today, yeah, you're getting to
it's laser time.
Dr. Lazoff or whoever that guy is, right? Dr. Tadoff.
Right, yeah. Right? Hey, I didn't see much coverage over the weekend, but are the conservatives giving the liberal failing New York Times credit for being the ones who did this investigation and broke this story?
No, they're not.
Really?
They're too busy attacking the Dems who took money from Harvey Weinstein because they're
in
cahoots with a sexual predator.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Because it just seems like they always target the New York Times as being liberal. And it seems like in this case,
fake news. I thought it was all fake news.
They took down one of the biggest liberal contributors there is.
But this one's real news, I guess.
Interesting. Donald Trump Jr. tweeted to Jimmy Kimmel and said, any response to this? And Jimmy's response was, you mean the story from the failing, lying New York Times?
Oh, okay.
Absolutely. He's a disgusting man, blah, blah, blah. So it was pretty interesting that he got to go right back at one of the sources and say, oh, now we're believing them.
But they have a strong position because remember that time Harvey Weinstein said that he grabbed women by the pee?
That wasn't
when he was on that bus with Billy Bush.
Remember that?
He told us. He told us what he was doing.
No,
and we just didn't listen.
I don't think
we should have fired him at that opportunity.
That was President Trump.
What? That doesn't work that way, Kevin.
You don't know, man.
Yeah. And this band, the Foo Fighters, I hear you guys talking about so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're pretty good.
Yeah.
Turns out.
They were playing at the Cal Jam this weekend. Kevin was there.
Yep. Chip was there.
Yep.
You guys were so loaded, weren't you? Were you on goofballs?
I mean, a bit.
Mushrooms? What were you doing?
A bit.
Heroin?
You were talking about how heavy-handed the pourer was at the bar.
I was doing smack?
Thinking the same thing.
No. Smack? Were you chasing the dragon?
Nope.
What were you doing?
Just had a beverage or two.
Opiate suppositories?
Nope.
What was it exactly?
What were the drugs?
What were the drugs that you were doing?
Just some alcohol.
Were you tripping on goofballs?
Nope.
We all loaded up on lava lamps.
Just a drink or two, that's all.
Or six.
Anyway, the band never fails to impress, and they had some special guests this weekend. They had Joe Perry, Aerosmith guitarist Joe Perry, came out on stage, as did Oasis frontman Liam Gallagher. And they teamed up for the Beatles classic, and honestly, the Aerosmith classic as well. Come Together. Here's a little taste. Hey, come on, let's Juju eyeballs. Nope. Holy roller. Nope. He's got his hair down to his knee. Gotta be Kalucky. Gotta be Kentucky. Is that what he said? Whatever he said, those aren't the words of the song.
No.
Sounded like the first time he'd ever heard it.
He was accosted by people because he was looking at the words on a sheet of paper.
He was.
Why wasn't he getting them right then?
And not even hiding it. Like, he was holding it up like a big scroll.
That was crazy.
Did he say one is one and two is two?
Yes.
Maybe tomorrow we'll have some time to go through the lyrics of that ridiculous song.
So you pointed out earlier, Ralph.
They are impossible.
It is a tough song to sing.
It's impossible. Unless you're holding the cheat sheet in front of you.
Right. In which case you would think. And you're a member of, you used to be a member of Oasis.
I don't remember them having a hit with Come Together, though.
But they were hugely influenced by the Beatles, and you would think if anybody would know it.
The Beatles themselves would have to use a cheat sheet to remember these lyrics.
I agree.
Because they're maddening.
They're ridiculous.
Insane. Today's celebrity birthday is Sharon Osbourne, 65 years old today. Tony Shalhoub is 64. Scott Bakula is 63. Guillermo del Toro is 53. Nick Swardson turns 40 years old. Brandon Routh is 38. Bella Hadid celebrates her 21st birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. On your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show, all you need to know is Breakfast with Foo Fighters.
It's Foo's Day.
I'm trying to stop Foo's Day here, Ralph. Can you help me? It's not Foo's Day.
It's tomorrow's Foo's Day.
No.
Okay.
But it is Breakfast with Foo Fighters at 7 a.m. on the Kevin and Bean.